appreciate the opportunity to get to speak to y'all again. I think I'll clear up and Fort Payne. So it's always an honor to speak God's word. That's what we should be thankful for. First of all, I want to start talking here. I'm a little nervous, so when I get going here, my topic is why do we have valleys? Before we get into that, I want to read Galatians 6 and 9. It says, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So let's keep that in mind as we go through talking about our valleys in our lives. Everybody has valleys, and it's been talked about, and I'm sure we'll be kind of jumping each other on other what other people say is, because the Bible's fitly joined together. James says it's a perfect law of liberty, so all the things in our life is for a purpose to me. I believe it started in Genesis, the first chapter, where God said, let us make man in our image. I believe that's when all these things started coming. I hope we all agree. I hope on these points that I have this morning that someone will understand more about what our valleys is about. And everybody is, you know, when you talk to people, you kind of figure out that everybody has the same problem. Some people can overcome this problem better than you can, and you can do this one. So that's what it's all about, is working together in the love to God, you know. And we'll go as we go. So why does God allow us as Christian people to be suffered, to suffer, to have these valleys? Well, I believe it's to make me a better Christian, because it says, yea, who all that live godly will suffer persecution. So the things that I go through makes me a better Christian to God. And I believe it separates the people who say they are and who they're not. Because Paul says in Philippians 3 and 14 that he had pressed towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So if we're pressing towards the mark for the prize, nothing's going to stop us. You know, I've heard people falling out of church because the preacher didn't even shake their hand and stuff like that over the years. You know, that's not what we're, that's not what it's about. The problems that we have is to make us better, to make us to understand that God, we have a loving God who will help us in our times of struggle. So that's what I think it is. Over in my lifetime, I'll be 54 in December, the Lord's will. I believe it's made me a better and stronger Christian. You know, at the time in my workplace, I was kind of mistreated. You know, we always build up these things. So 10 years, I thought I was mistreated till years later when God opened my eyes and really let me see that what I was going through, I might not be standing here before you this morning. I might have been on another path if I hadn't been mistreated and wondering why this is happening to me. I'm going to church. I'm doing these things. But to live through that, then it finally figured out that the problems that I had, the death, the stress, and the problems that I had in my life made me closer to God. It made me pray more. It made me study more. It made me rely on God more. Ain't that the key to the valleys? That knowing that you cannot make it without God. You know, the Apostle Paul said that he would only glory in his infirmities. Did we do that? And Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, he said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am made strong. So that's the way, the plan I believe that God's got set for us. Why our valleys that we have in our lives is to help us to realize as human beings that this world's not our home. This world can't be our home, and we can't be looking forward to this world. You know, even in John says, it's all that's in the world is lust of flesh and lust of eyes and the pride of life. So who wants to be living in a world that's a sinning world with pain and problems? Who don't want to go where God separates them valleys to show us in Revelation 21 and 4 that there's no pain, no tears, the former things are passed away. That's what the valleys is showing us. And God has prepared for you a place where these things are not going to be no more. The valleys, the problems, the stresses that we have in life. John 14, 1 and 2 and 3, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. How many of us wakes up in the morning thinking that that's where we want to be? Okay, if everything's going rosy in our lives, we'll see more in this lesson is, we won't be thinking about that. We'll be thinking how wonderful we got it down here, won't we? So let's go a little further into it and see about our valleys in our lives. And so like I said a while ago, when we have valleys, when I go through mine, I can help my family through theirs, and they can help me through theirs. And our Christian people that we love, that's why we get together to talk, to see other people of like faith. There's no better joy to me to see than the members of the Church of Christ. So we ought to be working one another, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We read this in Galatians 6 and 2. And also, we'll love our neighbors ourselves out of helplessness in Luke 10 and 27. You know, all the apostles had valleys, didn't they? You know, the Apostle Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times that it might pass from him. But you know, Jesus even told him in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in our weaknesses." You see, the point we're trying to get across here is the valleys in our lives is for us to rely on God and say, "Hey, this ain't what you're after down here. You're after up there where there's no pain, no tears, or former things have passed away." So the problems I had in my life that I thought was not fair worked out to my glory of giving me an opportunity to make it to heaven with God, because it made me do more, made me study more, have lessons more. We started the congregation in Pell City. Things work out for the good if you love God the way we're supposed to be loving God in our baptism. He will help us go through here. Let's everyone turn our Bibles to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'll get me a drink of this water and hopefully settle these nerves down a little bit. Why I got so nervous here. In Hebrews 11 chapter, in the 24th verse, this is talking about Moses. Moses had it all right here. He says, "And when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." You know, he would have had it all if he would have been the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but choosing rather to sever the afflictions with the people of God, he didn't want the pleasures of the seasons, for the sin of the seasons. He didn't want that little bit of time. He said, "Esteeming the reproach greater riches, Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt." Do we consider Christ greater riches than anything in the world that we can think about, even in our valleys? You know, I believe that, I always say this a lot of times when I'm having lessons. Do we actually really believe that God is a reality? Do we believe that He will help us through these times and troubles and trials and needs? I believe that's why we have valleys, is to make me focus more on what means, what it's all about. Even the preacher in Ecclesiastes 12, he says, "All is vanity." He said, "Everything under the sun is vanity." So in other words, all the things of this life is just vanity. It's worthless. The things, the foundation that I build for God, the things that I do for God, that I've laid my foundations, is the only thing I can take out of here in Judgment Day. The things He's going to look at me in Revelation 20, you read Revelation 20, 11 through 15, you'll see about the Judgment Day. That's the things we need to worry about. It's not what happens to us. It's not in case of the problems that we have. We know this body is decaying. We know we're going to die. We know we're going to give account. We know these things are going to happen. He says it rains on the just and the unjust. Here Moses chose, didn't he? And everybody has a decision to choose. And our values in life keeps us from being complacent. Sometimes we can go along thinking we're living a Christian life for years and years, and we've gone complacent. I think a Christian life is like this. It's constantly going up, growing. That's what Paul says mostly ends on all his writings. But grow in the grace of God. So continue to grow till the toes are turned up. We can't come and get stale, complacent. So things in life let us know that we're going to leave this world on. We can't miss it. For whatever we do, or the valleys, or the problems that we have, we can't give up because something happened. You remember that what we read in Galatians. He said, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chastens." In Revelation 3 and 19 tells us, He says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." I think the whole duty of man, what it says in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. He says, "That's why you're put here. That's why we're all here for. Men and women, kids, is to fear God and keep His commandments." It's the whole duty of man, no matter what happens. Brother Cobb touched on a couple of things that I'll be talking about too, but it's all fitly joined together. You know, James says, the trial of your faith worketh patience. But you know, the reason why he says the trial of your faith worketh patience is because of this. It's because the more we learn through our battles, the stronger we get through by relying on God, then we realize this. If you don't get much out of this lesson, I know I'm shaky and talky, but I always get this out. Someday, your day will come. No matter what you go through. I got a boss man who had cancer. He had esophageal cancer, had surgery. We always wishing him and praying for him that he'd be okay. Well, my boss lady, she's got worse cancer now than he does. So the valleys that we go through, we know this life, let's keep this in perspective when things are happening to us. And I believe that heaven is for prepared people and hell is for the unprepared people. So the time that we have here is to prepare to get to heaven. No matter what happens to us, we may be going along thinking we got it right, and then something happens to us and we realize that God is saying, oh, wait a minute. You're not on that straight and narrow path. Remember, we read that in Matthew 7, 13, 14. So the trial of my faith worketh patience. And I know that someday when I die, when I stand before the Almighty God or bow, He'll say, come on into the joys of the Lord. So the valleys in this life is to make me to realize that I will have a place and home. There is a better place. We all can make it there. I guarantee you, the Bible, He didn't send His Son down here for us not to make it, did He? He didn't send His Son down here to die and to suffer and all this and say, no, you're not going to make it. You cannot do this. But we can do this, do we? Through Him. You know, it's Brother Cobb brought about Job. When you read James 5, 11, 10 through 11, you read that where he says that God is tender mercy. So the things and suffering that we see in this life is sad. Yes, it is. But God knows everything. God knows what we need before we ask Him. You know, the Apostle Paul, he also said this. Brother Cobb was talking about Brother Saul, Paul. You know, God's plan consists of me having babies. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, 12 and 13, he said, I know how to abase and I know how to abound. And everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Here's the key in the 13th verse, Philippians 4 and 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ with strength and strength. That's how we get through these times of life. That's how we have made it through the valleys of this life. That's how I've nearly made it, if the Lord's will, to be 54 years old. It all comes through Christ. We're all baptized into Christ. We have put on Christ, Galatians 3 and 27. So, that's the key. The valleys are harder to be understood in our lives if you look around, and like I did when I was younger. If we don't study the Bible to see the people who had already went before us. That's why it tells you, if you read Hebrews 11th chapter and you come into the 12th chapter, the first and second verse tells us. He says, wherefore seeing we come past about with so great cloud of witnesses. There's the people that's went through these battles. Now you got people to look back and see, even Job, as Brother Cobb talked about. He said, let us lay aside the every weight and the sin which doeth so easy beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now here's the key to the whole shebang. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't get out of bed without praying first. Don't go to bed without praying. Don't do nothing without praying. Because through our valleys and our problems and our lives, all this that we have in our life comes from God. That's why we're put here, to give God the glory for what He's done for us and you. Even the valleys, remember what the Apostle said? Oh, I only glory in my infirmities. You know, the Apostle Paul did that because he knew there's a better place. He even told us, I think it's in the Philippian letter, I am twixt between two. He was wanting to leave. How many of us can actually say that we want to leave this world? Now that's a big statement. Everybody in here, even myself, can say, yeah, I want to go. You know, I made a statement one time, I'd like to, it would be nice to die having a lesson. I've heard a man do that in Walnut Park years ago. That's where I used to go, to Walnut Park, and guest. Well, I was up at Hope's Bluff. Like two of them. Didn't even know it. So watch what we pray for. God might give it to us. When I left down, had the lesson, we went and ate, went home, my blood pressure was pumped out of sight. So I like to have that. But the valleys in life show me that through God's help, with His mercy, that's what He wants. And that's what we ought to be giving Him credit for every day. 1 Peter 5 and 7 tells us, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. He wants me, David Burnham, to rely on Him for everything. If you read 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, he says, even giving thanks for your food, or whatever you drink. Read that. Don't be ashamed. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 tells us, he says, you trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You know, one thing I've learned in my little time here on the earth studying the Bible, I'm not God. I'm not in close to God. My ways are not His ways. My thoughts are not His thoughts. So I need to rely on what He says, and that's it. Don't wonder why. Don't understand where, why did it happen to me? It's my turn. That's the way I look at it. And I hope that I can get to that case. You know, it's easy to say things, but my time is coming. The sickness, the problems, maybe cancer. My mother had it four times and died with it. I'm sure it's coming to me eventually. But I hope I can go through that valley saying, God, it's my time. Let me suffer for you. That's why the Apostle Paul, he went through all that he did, and then the cares of the churches. It's because the Apostle Paul knew that the suffering that was building his foundation to be worthy. We'll see more as we get in. To be worthy. To be worthy. That's what it's all about. All right, listen to this. God knows everything, right? We all believe that. That's why we're here. That's why we go to church. That's why we believe in God. He knows everything. And we know, and He knows that we will appreciate more what we have by the sufferings we go through. You go through some problems, cancer or whatever, and then the time you go to saying, oh man, I appreciate today. No days are bad. You don't go to saying any things. I've heard people say, this has been a rotten day. Well, tell that to a person who's gasping for breath. So thanks, because but if you think about this, if we're handed everything that we need and everything is going rosy, we on the hill and on the valleys, would we ever look up to see where it came from? That's why we have valleys to make us realize these things that we have were spoken to existence by Almighty God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and I think it's the 3rd verse. He spoke these things into existence. Man didn't have nothing to do with all this stuff. God let man invent it. God spoke it into existence long before we got here. Our valleys. All is vanity, as the preacher said. The world, the things, listen to this. This is also what the preacher says in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. He said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. He said, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. So here's what I take from this. Whatever I can do for God, I better get busy, eh? Because when I've dug 2,000 graves, and none of them peoples ever came back. So the things that I need to be doing for God now, I better get busy, because when the toes are turned up, I don't have another opportunity. That's why the valleys keeps me from being complacent. That's why the valleys tell me that, guess what? Hebrews 9:27 says I'm going to die. That's going to be a shock. We'll walk around as human beings thinking everything's rosy, and then that doctor with the white coat says, David, you got cancer, you got 2 weeks, and you go, I'm going to die? God told us long before then, didn't he? That's why with the time we're here, prepare through the valleys, helps us see it, keeps us eyes open. That's what it's all about to me. James says in James 4:14, he says, life's but a vapor, it appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Everybody that's a member of the Church of Christ ought to read this, study this, and say, this is what I'm going to do. If the Lord's will, we shall do this, or we shall do that. I think the members of the Church of Christ ought to be saying that, because we're not guaranteed. What is that here? He said, it's the Lord's will, we shall do this and do that. You read James 4:14-15. The old body's going to wear out. The Lord teaches us it's his will. Job said in Job 14:5, we all bring it up a little bit of Job. Listen to this. You may disagree with this. If you do, that's fine. He said, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds, that it cannot pass. Now, I believe Job's telling me this. This is where I say some people may not disagree. I believe we all got a bounds. I believe if it's my will not to make it back out of that door, I'm not going to make it. That's where I feel. I can add two more time. It tells me that in Ephesians. Honor thy father and mother, no days will be long on earth, but what is long? I believe I can shorten it too. But the whole conclusion of the whole matter of the valleys, of the problems, of the deaths, of the stresses, and things of this life, it's all come to one conclusion. Don't be weary in well-doing. Fear of God and keep his commandments. That's why we're put here. We're not put here to have a wonderful life. I do not see any apostle giggling and having a good time. Did you? It was focusing on the prize that was set before them. What is that prize? They were beat and all this. Walked everywhere they went. Maybe they rode a horse or something, but I don't know. But most time they walked. What was they looking for? Why was they doing all this? Why was they taking all this? Why is the Apostle Paul let down by the window and the basket? Why was all this? Because they looked for a new heaven and a new home. How many of us can say that through our valleys? You know, the valleys is just like as I hear. They've gone blind. Can't see nothing. Let's open and see the big picture. That's what Sammy said one time. He said, we live in a circle. Here's our circle. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. He says, all scripture given by the inspiration of God is proper for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we live in that circle. That circle is what God has wrote down for us, and don't get outside of it. He tells us you're going to have valleys. He says, here's how you go through the valley. You rely on me, I'll get you through them battles. He says in Revelation 2:10, he says, you be faithful unto death. So he gave me a time limit. He didn't say I could stop being a Christian at 54 years old. He said, unto death. So if I be faithful unto death, I stay inside that circle, don't add to or take from this, guess what? John 14:1-2, my Father's house will be in the mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. So the things that we struggle through here in this life, our day will come. Revelation 20:11-15, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. That's us. He's seen us. That was the end of time. It's going to be exciting to see. You know, the time that I've been here, I keep throwing up nearly 54 years. God says, 1,000 years is one day. One day is 1,000 years of him. We've only got one shot to make it. He says, there's only a few that'll be the firm. Valleys is to lift us up out of our sinful life, who's never obeyed the gospel. Our valleys is the eye-opener. The only way up is up. I always tell people when I have a lesson, don't let the problems of this life drag you down and you try to do it yourself. Because if you try to do it yourself, you're going to get further, further, further away from God. When you have problems and troubles and trials, I always point to the front bench. And I say, there's where it starts. Repentance or obedience to the gospel. You hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Or you repent because you sin. That's where your problems start. When you do that, then you're on the way up because you got God who you can pray for. It's because James tells us that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So here's where you start solving your problems. From here out, rely on God. You know, our valleys teach us to be thankful for our time, for what we have that God so graciously yield. You know, Mama lived 70, 71 years old, and it seemed like it was just yesterday that she was cooking bread and bread. 71 years, just remember that vapor? For a little, now she's been gone nearly going on 4 years. God bless you for the time that we had. So that's why we need to take our battles and our problems while we got good health. Like Bill Prince said one time, as long as he's got a clear mind, he wants to do as much as he can for God. Because one day he may not have that clear mind. And how much is enough? How much is enough? How much can we please God? Can we get to a point and say, sit down? You got your mansions built. It don't never say that, does it? It's constantly growing. It's constantly relying on Him, man. Here's my favorite part of the lesson. We want to talk about Jesus Christ. His life. Okay, Jesus was born. He was laid in a manger. And how do we lay his head? King was trying to kill him. He preached approximately 3 years, 3.5, some vary back and forth. He saved people, to save people, to heal their sick, raise the dead. He fed people, just to name a few things. He was beat. He was spit on. He was whipped. He had a crown of thorns. His clothes was took off of him. He was hung on a tree. He was speared in the side. That's why they check to see if he's dead. That's where the blood and the water come out. He was given God a drink. His disciples fled him. Judas betrayed him, one of his apostles. He was laid in a grave that wasn't his. Talking about battles. The little problems that we have, maybe. That we think we can't go through. All right, listen to this. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. Give you time to get there. Now listen to this. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. This is our Lord. What he went through. Now let's go back to the point that we can use for us. Earn he obedience by the things that he suffered. The valleys that we went through. The problems I had that I was so graciously whining about that I thought was the end of the world because people was mistreating me. And now I study the Bible. I pray more. I have lessons. I'm up here, thank God. Whoever invited me, Herod, all that time, would I be here if I hadn't went through and learned obedience by the things that I thought I was suffering. You know, if you read Matthew, the fourth chapter, when the devil was tempting Jesus, he was tempted just like we are. You know, it don't say everything. But you got to remember this. The Lord was tempted as we are. He was tempted with women, men. He had it all. But you know how he overcome it? Same way we can overcome our problems in this life. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 tells us, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Bible daily. Jesus, every time he was tempted, answered with the word of God. There's no problems in this life. It's not in this book. There's nothing you went through, nothing I'm going to go through or went through, I can't answer in this book. That's why it's the perfect law of liberty. Now listen to this. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Now I said back earlier that the apostles, all of them had bodies. Christ suffered. Does that ring a bell? Should we have problems? Or should I obey the gospel as I did years ago? Come up out of that water of grave of baptism, Romans 6:3-6. Destroy the body of sin. And have a wonderful life. It didn't say that. It did not say that. God wants us to rely on him and everything is rosy and going down through there. Something dead in the creek camp. Something wrong. We ain't got problems. Because we learn obedience through them. That we rely on Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. All right, listen to this. We have values to make us the way God wants us to be molded. And tried and faithful. You know, for what? Here's the best part. We can be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. My little children, these things I write unto you. Well, that's the wrong one. That's 1 John 2:1. 1 John 3:1. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed on us. That we can be called the sons of God. The suffering and the problems that we have, Moses puts the old stripes on the back, that we can be faithful under that. The little bitty things just bounce off of us, don't we? We're not going to fall away from church just for anything. Now, when we was young, we first obeyed, we were looking for things. Nobody likes me. I want somebody to pat me on the back. The first lesson I ever had was in color. So I come back up there and I just knew everybody was going to pat me on the back. Nobody did. Buddy, you talking about sad, sad, sad. I just knew they was going to set me up on something and pat me on the back. It would have been about 10 minutes. It didn't work that way. But I never give up. Kind of figure out that ain't what it's about. It ain't about me. It's not about me. All these values in life is to keep me humble. That's why the God, he said, hey, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Your weaknesses, you've been made strong. You can help others. Continue to be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. How many of you wants to be in heaven? We all do. We wouldn't be here, would we? Listen to this. I'm going to teach Brother Cobb had a little bit on this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm talking about us now. I'm using this for us. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death as we speak. But you know, if you're a member of the Lord's church, Matthew 18:16, 16:18, I'm saying everything backwards. Christ is with you, you'll never walk alone. I don't care what battle you go through, if you get cancer, you get whatever, you have a stroke, you have a heart attack, whatever. You'll never walk alone. You won't die alone. I don't care where you're at. That's why we were to focus on making sure that we examine ourselves daily. That we're not reprobates. That we're going through our valleys and knowing that Jesus is holding our hand. Yet a man who suffered as a Christian, they did not be ashamed, but give God the glory and the praise. 1 Peter 4:16. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us he won't put us in above something we can't handle. He's done been through it. Now here, I don't know what time it is, but I'll end on 1 Peter 5:10. I think it sums up the whole shebang. He says, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Here's the key to why you have battles. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's why we have battles. You're wondering why we have problems in your life. Read 1 Peter 5:10. I read it every day. Make us a stronger Christian. And be worthy. Be worthy of being called the sons of God. We'll go back to what we first read when we first started going. Galatians 6:9. He said, let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we will reap if we faint not. I hope this has been, sorry about getting nervous, I don't know why I got nervous to start with. But I hope someone got something out of this lesson I have, because when I study more, I learn more, that I realize that all is vanity. All I got to do is stay faithful unto death, and it's mine. Same for you, it's yours. It's right in our hands. It's in our hands. Open it. Figure it out, our instructions. I appreciate all your prayers for me and my family, and I appreciate my family coming up here with me. So, and like I like to say, is I've enjoyed it, and I appreciate the opportunity to come up here and speak with y'all. And I hope someone enjoyed the lesson. Thank you very much.